so far we've been studying the fruits of the Spirit, and we've looked at love, and we've looked at joy, we've looked at peace, we've looked at patience, we've looked at kindness, we've looked at goodness, and today we'll look at faithfulness. So up until this point with love, you guys have all been more loving, right? Because of the Scripture reminded you to be more loving. You've had more joy in your life, right? I've seen you guys smiling. I have. You've had peace in your life. Not a lot going on. I mean, you've made it through those hard times, right? What about patience? Some of you have been a whole lot more patient. I see some really weird looks on your faces. That's a tough one, isn't it, to be patient? You know, what about kindness? Now, we can be pretty good at being kind, even if we're faking it, right? Yeah, some of us, we fake our kindness, you know. Sometimes there's those moments in life. What about goodness? I mean, I know God has been good to me. Have you been good to others? Yeah. Have you shown God's goodness through you to others? So today, what about faithfulness? Man, that's a big word and a really big topic. And so today we're going to look at the fruits of the Spirit again in Galatians chapter 5, verse 22 and 23. And I know you guys have it memorized by now. Is that right? So I put it on the screen. So if you would read along with me. But the fruit of the Spirit is
love, joy, peace, patience, kindness,
faithfulness, gentleness, self-control. It is a subject of the law. Amen. Amen. So you've almost got it, right? Almost got it. So faithfulness is a word we don't hear very often these days. At least we don't see it as much these days. It's a word usually reserved for retirement parties, I think. You know, after 25 years of faithful service, you know, or something like that, a worker gets a gold watch after being faithful to a company for that long. And when most of us think of the word faithful, we think of things that are old. And I want to tell you, young people can be faithful too. And we have some faithful young people in this church. And some of them come because their mom and dad makes them, but some of them come because they want to come. And that's good to see. You know, I've said that my dog, I've had a few dogs in my life, and they, you know, they sometimes got old and ugly, and but they were always faithful, you know. And that's one thing I can always count on when I come home. If nobody else is happy to see me, my dog is happy to see me. I guarantee you that. I mean, he's so excited. I can leave the house, go to the car, and get something out of the car and come back, and it's like I've been gone for days. I mean, he's happy to see me, you know? It makes you feel good, doesn't it, when that happens? You know, but that's faithfulness, you know? To be faithful means to be reliable, to be trustworthy, to be dependable, to be consistent. Like I said, seems like we don't see a lot of that today. Faithfulness is a rare quality. And it's not easy to find someone who can really be counted on. And when I was studying about faithfulness, when I was preparing this, man, I want to tell you what, I had to pull a lot of daggers out because it really hurt. I was convicted in many ways with this. And so, you know, this really just hit me because I know that I try to be my best at being faithful. And I try to be my best, but sometimes I'm not always as faithful as I need to be. In Proverbs 20, verse 6, it says, everyone talks about how loyal and faithful they are, but just try to find someone who really is. Man, isn't that something? Is that relevant? We should strive to be faithful for a couple reasons. The first reason we should be faithful is that God is faithful to us. We should be faithful because God is faithful. The second, Thessalonians says this, the Lord is faithful and He will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. Aren't you glad of that? Aren't you glad of that? Do you believe that today? That God will protect you from the evil one? That's what a good shepherd does, isn't it? He protects his flock. And another reason why we should be faithful is that God rewards faithfulness. In the book of Revelations, this promise is made. Do not fear what you are about to suffer. Behold, the devil is about to cast some of you into prison, so that you will be tested and you will have tribulation for 10 days. But be faithful until death, and I will give you the crown of life. Isn't that a wonderful promise right there? What he's saying is, no matter what's going to happen in your life, no matter what happens in your life, God's faithful. And he will give you the riches and rewards of the crown of life in heaven if you're faithful. The Bible says over and over again that a faithful person will be richly blessed. So if you want to be rewarded in heaven, you should learn how to become more faithful and dependable as a person. Boy, that's tough. You know, I think about all the times that I've messed up, all the times that I haven't been as faithful as I should be. But you know, the most famous geyser in America is Old Faithful. You've heard about Old Faithful, right? Everybody's heard about Old Faithful. I've never been to Yellowstone National Park. I've always wanted to go. I've always wanted to go out there and see Old Faithful. But you know, it's not the biggest geyser in America. It's not the biggest. It's not the most dramatic. It doesn't spew as high as some of the others. But why is it so famous? It's because of its faithfulness, right? Right in the Word. I mean, you can set your clock to it, and it's faithful every time. It's dependable, and people appreciate faithfulness with that. Do you have a reputation of being reliable? What about dependable? I don't know. I can look at, you may be talented or educated or creative, but if you're not dependable, your talents are not that much, not worth that much to people. Someone said the greatest ability is dependability. And I know working in construction for 20 plus years, I know there were guys that I had work for me that I could count on. And then I had a whole lot of people that I couldn't. And it was always like, you had to deal with some of that all the time. There were those that you just couldn't depend on. They weren't faithful to you. They weren't, you know, and you just dealt with that. Well, life's like that. People are like that. They're not faithful. They're not dependable. And we live in a life, or live in a world full of people that aren't reliable or dependable. But, you know, I think God's people are called to be that. Faithful and dependable to each other. In the back of your mind, you're always wondering, will somebody let you down again? Or will they come through this time? Or working with inconsistent people is extremely frustrating, isn't it? But God calls each of us to faithfulness. He wants us to be faithful. You know, I want to look at some areas today how we can develop faithfulness in our life. But first, we need to, it's our promises that we make. Well, I promise. I've said that 100 times. 1,000. 100,000 times. How many is with me on that? I promise. I'll do it. I mean it. From the time I was little, you know, until I was an adult. I mean, we have a habit of saying that. Proverbs 25:14 says, like clouds and wind without rain is a man who boasts of his gifts falsely. The Message Bible puts it this way, like billowing clouds that brings no rain is the person who talks big but never produces. You know what? Do you know people like that? How many of you know somebody like that? Nobody? I guess I'm the only one. I know people that make promises but never keep them. They tell that they're going to do something but never do. I'm challenging not only myself, but be careful about what promises that you make. We need to be dependable in what we say, and we need to keep our promises. Ecclesiastes 5:5 says, it's better not to make a promise at all than to make one and not keep it. The Bible has a lot to say about this. You know, when you're faithful with your promises, you don't have to convince people that you are who you say you are. You don't have to make a big deal out of it. And you don't have to say, cross my heart and hope to die, you know. Do the pinky swears or whatever that is. You just need to say that I'll do it and then do it. People can count on you. Jesus said this in Matthew 5:37, when you make a promise, say only yes or no, or yea or nay, when you make an oath. Anything else comes from the devil, he says. Wow. The second area that helps us develop faithfulness is our relationships. Well, you guys are going to get real quiet now. We all need to cultivate personal loyalties to each other. A faithful person stands by his friends, right? Stands by his church. They can be counted on in a crisis. They can be relied on when the road gets rough. But notice that this verse here in Proverbs, what it says here, we all need to cultivate this personal loyalty. A faithful person stands by his or her friends. In Proverbs 17:7 says this, a friend is always a friend, and relatives are born to share our troubles. Now that's kind of a unique way of saying something, isn't it? Genuine friends are reliable and consistent, aren't they? But notice that this verse talks about two groups of people. It talks about friends, but it also talks about relatives. And no, your in-laws may be your outlaws, but they're still your in-laws. You know what I'm saying? We need to cultivate faithfulness in our relationship. Someone said, you know, if you marry Ellie Mae, you get Jethro too. You know, and you just have to deal with certain things. You know, sometimes you can't help who you were born into, right? You just have to deal with it. And I'm thankful for my... I want to say this, and I'm not getting brownie points. I hope maybe it does. But I'm thankful for my spouse. I'm thankful for my wife. She's always been there for me. She's always been there. Now, she's not always agreed with me. I'll say that. But she's always been there. And if we're going to be faithful, we need to be faithful in all aspects of our relationships. Years of marriage means years of commitment. You know, Lee and I have been married 33 years, and that wasn't easy. I'm just telling you, it's not easy. Did I say that? Did you hear that? My mic's on. And I think we all that have been married that long will agree with that. It's not easy. It takes all the fruits of the Spirit. All of them. Right? 65 years. Amen, brother. I love it. I love it. You know, after a certain point, it just doesn't matter, does it? Huh? Oh, that's awesome. You know, it means years of reliability. It means years of dependability. It means years of faithfulness. And so we need to cultivate faithfulness in our lives and our relationships. But we also need to use our abilities. And God has given us some spiritual abilities. Now, you hear me, spiritual abilities. Spiritual talents and gifts. And He's made an investment in you and I. You know, some people have been gifted with some great gifts. And God gave you those gifts to use. And we need to cultivate those things. And we need to use those things. And God expects us to use our gifts as He has invested in us. 1 Peter says, each one has received a special gift. Employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God. 1 Peter 4:10. You know, if you don't use the gifts or the abilities you have been given by God, other people will miss out on what you have to offer. And if you want to become more faithful, use your abilities. And some people, you know, I think are very good at cooking. Well, I'm thankful that Ed comes and cooks breakfast on Sunday morning, aren't you? And see, I mean, that is a gift that God has given him, and he is using it. And I'm glad. Some people are very good at organizing. Some people are really good at organizing. Some people are very good at growing plants or growing a garden. It just seems like they just know how to do it. It just happens. They can grow anything. Some people are very good at praying. Some people are very good at showing hospitality. And what's your ability? And whatever that ability is, God is saying, use it. Use it. I gave it to you to use. Faithfulness depends on not what I do, but what I do with what God has given me. Right? When you use your abilities, your gifts and talents, it matters. And look at what the Bible says. And I know you can't see this because I didn't get them up here on the screen today. But in 1 Corinthians 12:20 and 21, listen to what the scripture says. It takes many parts to make a single body. That's why the eye cannot say that they don't need the hands. And that's also why the head cannot say it doesn't need the feet. And one part of the body hurts, we hurt all over. If one part of the body is honored, the whole body will be happy. You know, all the parts of the body affect all the parts of the body, doesn't it? And we cannot all be brilliant, I know that, but we can all be faithful. And faithfulness is what counts with God. And so keep your promises and build your relationships and use your abilities, and then also be faithful with your time. And that seems to be really lacking. But you know what I've learned is there was 168 hours in a week, and there's still 168 hours in a week. It hasn't changed, right? We haven't added hours and we haven't taken away hours. Ephesians 5:15 says, therefore, be careful how you walk, not as unwise men, but as wise, making the most of your time because the days are evil. Are you making the most of your time? Are you making the most of your time? You can do three things with your time. You can spend it, you can waste it, or you can invest it. And what where do you lay in those three? Well, I mean, what do you do in those three there? The best use of your time is to invest it in something that's going to outlast you. Faithfulness involves time management. And you know, there's two primary wasters of time. Two biggies. What I find is regret and worry. And we can waste our time a lot on worrying about stuff, can't we? And we can worry all we want, but it doesn't change. It still will never change. When we regret the past, we waste a huge amount of time looking backwards to change something that we can't change. A word or something that we did, no matter what, how much you try, you can never change. You can never change that. It's already done, right? And we sure spend a lot of time, you know, when we worry about the future, we waste a lot of time fretting over events that may never happen. It seems like we worry about this next election and all that kind of stuff. And we worry about that and all that stuff. And why do I say that? Is because of the news is filled with all this stuff today. We can spend a lot of time worrying about that stuff, fretting over it. But listen, there's things that will happen that we can't change. God has a plan. He has a purpose. And we talked a little bit about that on Wednesday night of faithfulness. We did. And there's things that we can't change. God has a purpose and a plan, and that plan is His plan. And sometimes all we have to do is just say, okay, God, no matter what, I know that You have a plan, and I'm just going to be faithful with what I'm supposed to do. I think to become a more faithful person, we're going to have to give up what I call a when and then thinking. It kind of goes like this. When I get to a certain age, then I'll be able to serve the Lord a little more. Whenever I retire, I'll have more time. Whenever I can pay all my bills, or whenever I don't have to work so much, then I'll have more time to serve the Lord. I'll be able to witness to more people when I have time. Look at what Hebrews says. Encourage one another day after day, as long as it is still called today, so that none of you will be hardened by the deceitfulness of sin. God understands, I think, our schedules. He knows how busy we are. He understands it's better. I think He understands us better than we do. Okay, that's what I'm trying to say. And I pray every day, God, tell me what I need to do. And you can say, well, that's your job, Pastor. I mean, that's what you do. You know, I mean, this is what you do. But God doesn't just call pastors to think that way. He calls us all to be that way, to the best of our ability. He knows that we have to have a job. He knows that some of us have to work. He knows all about that. He knows what you go through. But He says, at your job, be faithful. Whatever job that you have, be faithful at it. Be reliable. Be dependable. And while you're there, show My love. Show Me, you know, to everyone that you meet. Tell them about Me. So make your time count. It's a part of being faithful, also being faithful with your giving. Boy, here's a big one. You know, I've heard before that pastors should never talk about money. I've heard that pastors should never talk about money. And I wonder why not. Why not? It's in the Bible. I need money. You need money. We all need money, right? In fact, the Bible talks about money a lot. It does. And if you wanted to develop the fruit of faithfulness, you must learn to manage your money. Now, I don't talk about this very often, and you guys know that. But money management is very important, and it is important to God. The Scripture is full about it. It's full of it. In Luke 16:11, it says, if you cannot be trusted with worldly riches, you will not be trusted with the true riches. God's given us the resources, and how you handle money is a test of your faithfulness to Him. That's why Jesus says what He says. God says that if you're not faithful with your material possessions, He will not trust you with spiritual resources. So you need to ask yourself questions like, am I being a wise manager of the money God has given me? Because I believe the way you handle your finances determines a large extent of what God can do with your life. And it doesn't, I'm not talking about being extremely wealthy. I'm talking about whatever God has given you, manage it well. That's faithfulness. And the Bible talks about it a lot. You know, it seems that giving to God has not always been as secretive as it seems to be today. And you know, we've got a church house back here that we just continued the habit of putting our money instead of passing the plate. And it used to be out in the open where they would bring their money in front of everybody and they would drop it in the Old Testament. And Jesus, it says here in the Scripture, in Mark 12:41, it says Jesus sat down opposite of the treasury And he began observing how the people were putting money into the treasury. And many rich people were putting in large sums. And a poor widow came and put in two small copper coins, which amount to really about 1 cent. Calling his disciples to him, he said to them, "Truly, I say to you, this poor widow put in more than all the contributors to the treasury. For they all put in out of their surplus, but she, out of her poverty, put in all she owned, all she had to live on." So, I'm not telling you how you should run your, you know, how you should use your money. That's none of my business. It really is not. That's between you and God. You know, whatever God convicts you of. I'll tell you that. I don't know who pays tithes around here and who does. I don't look into that. I just know that whatever the church brings in, if we can pay our bills, I'm okay with that. Right? Amen? But that's between you and God. But what I do see in these verses is that the widow put God first. She put God first before any of her own needs. And that's amazing to me. King David wrote this in Psalms 54, 6 and 7. He said, "Willingly I will sacrifice to you. I will give thanks to your name, O Lord, for it is good. For he has delivered me from all troubles." You know, I'm sure that all of you have heard the statement, you can't outgive God. How many have heard that before? You know, the widow seemed to know that whatever she gave, God was worth it. And David seemed to know that too. And that can be your time too. Your willingness. I will give to you. Willingly, I will sacrifice to you. Willingly, I will give you my all. So, I just say the management of your money matters to God. Be faithful in it. I don't think I can overestimate the importance of faithfulness. And Jesus told a parable about a master who went away and left his servants in charge. And that's written in Matthew 25 and 14 through 30. And when he returned, the servants were rewarded not for their abilities. They were not rewarded for their knowledge. They were not rewarded for their good intentions. Boy, I know so many that have good intentions. Do you remember? Do you know the story? If you remember what they were rewarded for, they were rewarded for their faithfulness. Jesus had left them in charge of his business. And just like now, Jesus has left you and I in charge of his business here on earth. When he left, he says, "Now, go. I'm leaving you here and I'm leaving the Holy Spirit here with you." And one day he's going to come back. One day he's going to come back, and throughout the scripture we find these stories of when he returned, when the master returned, what did he find? Did he find faithful? Did he find faithfulness? When he returns, will he find us faithful? Will he find you and I faithful? Will he find this church? You think about it. Will he find this church faithful? I long to hear those words, "Well done, good and faithful." Right? Faithfulness is important. And it's probably one that we struggle with the most. Other than self-control. That's another big one. But these things are important to God, and they're important for us to manage well in our lives. And so I challenge you today, learn how to be more faithful in all that you do. And it means something. It really does. It's important. This world needs to see that. This world needs to see people they can count on. People they can rely on. People who are faithful. Not only just to God, but to each other. And that's what the church should be. And so I challenge you to help me. Let's work together to be that. So that the community around us can see that that church, those people are faithful, they're reliable, they're good people. They love God. Pray with me. Heavenly Father, I thank you again, Lord, for your message of faithfulness, Lord, and what you would have us to be. Lord, help us. We desire to be faithful. So, Lord, help us to grow. Lord, help us to grow, draw closer to you, Lord. Help us to grow and draw closer to each other. Laying self aside. Keeping our promises to each other. Being reliable to each other. Lord, I thank you for what you're going to do, what you're doing in this church. Lord, help us in every way. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. 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 Go in the grace of God.